God is good. I said, God is good.
Amen.
There's such a spirit of victory in this house. Spirit of hope in this place. We serve a God of hope. Our God is not dead, he's alive. He responded by fire. Lord, we thank you for the glory of this house. Thank you for the heritage of this house. Thank you for all the good things you have in store for this place. Thank you. Let's just stand on our feet and just start to declare words in the heavens. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you. You've been so good to us. We bless you. We magnify you. King of kings, Lord of lords, Lord of lords, Lord of lords. May I have the girl that sing the song with the king of my heart? I've been singing the song all morning. I've been singing that song all morning. Is she still here, that wonderful lady that was playing the keyboard? Can you please help me out? I've been singing the song all morning. I know it's prophetic. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. I just love to worship. I love the Holy Ghost. I have no apologies about it. He's good to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 We magnify you. We thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That one. Yes. Yes. You flow. Jesus! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
King of my heart, be the mountain where I run.
Yes.
The fountain I drink from.
Yes.
Oh, he is my song.
Thank you, Lord.
Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I
So good.
You are good. You're good. Oh, so let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins.
Prophesy that.
You're never gonna let. You're never gonna let me down.
Never.
thank you, Lord.
Always good.
Come on, give him a big shout in this place. A shout of victory. A shout like he's alive. A shout that he really raised from the dead. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Will you maybe see that? Thank you so much. Can you help my microphone a little bit so I don't need to scream? Just yes, please. And just turn the bass down. I'd really appreciate that. I don't want to scream at God's people. They're precious. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. It is such a privilege to be here with you. We've been traveling all over the world. We just came back from the nation of Brazil. It was over 40 churches come together to host a conference there. And I just came back, and then a couple of days of overcoming jet lag, and I'm here in this conference, and then a couple of weeks, then I'm in California. And God is doing awesome things in the earth. Yes, yes. I say, God is doing awesome things in the earth.
Yes,
and I want to commend you, man and woman of God, for the tremendous work you guys are doing in this region. Do you love your pastors? He's still quiet in this. I said, do you love your pastors?
Yeah.
See, I'm a pastor, and I know that the sacrifices take to pioneer something, to lead a people. And sometimes leading a people, you have some stubborn sheep in the flock. Am I in the right place here? And you have some stubborn sheep, and sometimes sheep do bite. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for your man and woman of God. Amen. Stand behind them, pray for them, hey, as they lead you to the place that God has in store for you. So one more time, give them some love. Come on, give them some love. Come on, give them some love. Honor them. Hallelujah. I believe in honoring people because heaven runs on the currency of honor. When you honor people, God's going to release such favor in your life. One of the reasons why God, let me tell you something. I was born in the Caribbean. You know, my country is on the... A lot of crazy stuff happened there right now. But I was born in the Caribbean. That's my beautiful accent you're hearing, is from the Caribbean. As a matter of fact, let me inform you, when you go to heaven, you'll sound just like me, just so you know that. When you go to heaven, so there'll be no culture shock. When you get there, you'll sound just like me. Amen? I was born in the Caribbean in a small little village called St. Paul's, population of 500 people. I was told when I was in high school that I was stupid, I was dumb, nothing good would come for me. And because I had a bad stammering problem, I couldn't speak. That's why I would never shut up. I would keep talking all the time. Amen?
Amen?
I couldn't speak. Every time I tried to speak, I would stutter. And I remember the teachers telling me, you're so stupid, nothing would ever come from your life. But when I came to Canada, I was 19 years old, and I had an encounter with Jesus. And God literally said, I heard the audible voice of God, and God literally set me free, healed my insecurity, healed my tongue. Amen? But one thing I recognize, that God has anointed me with favor. And the doors that open for me all over the world is amazing. I'm talking about president. I'm talking about kings. I'm talking about people in high places. And God told me the reason for that is because every church I go to, I make sure I honor the set man and the set woman of the house. And I'm telling you, the day you change your thinking and start to honor your man or woman of God, there are things going to happen to you that you don't even have to pray about. There's a dimension of favor will come in your life when you start to honor your man and woman of God. So do heaven a favor. Stand on your feet right now and give your man or woman of God the biggest shout. Come on. The biggest shout. The biggest praise. The biggest shout. The biggest praise. Thank you for having us. God will do awesome things in your life. You may be seated. Heaven run on the currency of honor. Jesus said, he that honors me, honor the one that sent me. That was the words of Jesus. That's why he was so powerful. That's why the spirit realm responded to him. That's why he had the earth under his command when he speak words. Hallelujah. The dead hear his voice. deafness respond to the voice of Jesus. Blind spirit respond to Jesus. Even God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Honor. Honor is a beautiful thing. So never take that for granted. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Can I have a turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Jude? I want to talk about the power of the church. The power of the church. Say the power of the church.
The power of the church.
There is a glory in the local church. There's a glory in the local church. I'm aware that there are a lot of new doctrines are coming to us in these last days and even want us to dishonor the local church. But Jesus said, I'm building the church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the word that he used in Sisera and Philippi is the word ecclesia. The called up one. The local gathering. He said, that church, the gates of hell shall not prevail. So I prophesy over this church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And if you come here supporting this church, if another church, I have a word for you. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that you're part of. And God is raising up a remnant in this region, in this hour, that will bring back a love for the local church. A love for the local church. A love for the church of the living God. The pillar and ground of truth. The church. Hallelujah. And I believe when the church lead the way, society will change. When the church lead the way, when the church get a hold of God, and God get a hold of the church, and the church lead the way, society have no choice but to follow. The Bible says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will hear and I will heal the community. I will heal the land. It didn't say Washington. It didn't say Ottawa.
That's right.
If my people. So there must be a cleaning that must take place in the house of God. I said, it must be some house cleaning.
Amen.
You can smile at me this morning. I said, it must be some house cleaning, some purging, some shaking. Because God is cleaning his house because we are the light of the world. How can we be the light when all kind of stuff is among us? God wants to clean our hearts and wash our minds because we are called to lead the way. I said, we are called to lead the way. We're called to, God, give me three words I want to leave with for this church. Three words I want to share with you today. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, are you there? Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Just after Revelation. Then turn left. You find Jude. This is the brother of Jesus. And I believe the brother of Jesus had some good things to say. I think he saw the life of Jesus. He saw how he respect his mother, how he respect those in authority. And he also saw all of the apostles, how they govern their lives. You see the early church. How many of the early church was full of power?
Amen.
There was some power in the book of Acts, church.
Yes, yes.
I mean, there was so much holiness. There was so much power in the church in the book of Acts that people dropped dead for lying.
Well, you know, I only pay. I know I make this amount on my salary, but I give this for my tithe, and drop dead for lying.
In the church of grace, I in this place, yeah. But the reason why there was such glory in the house of God, when the glory increased in the house, the reverence of God increased in the house.
That's right.
Follow me here. The reverence of God increased in the house. And therefore, the certain work of darkness cannot operate.
Yeah.
When the glory increases, when the reverence increases, when the fear of God increases, there's certain aspect of the powers of darkness cannot even function. Cannot even function. I had a testimony years ago of this man. He was going to West Campbell's church. And he was having hip surgery. He get all kind of press, and he just wasn't getting healed. So Wes told him that, you know, my friend, Apostle Everton, he have a church downtown. Just go and visit him. He can pray for you. I was out of town. This was the man's words. He said he came to the church, and he touched the doorknob of the church, and his hip was healed. No prayer was needed. This is the glory can come into this house, into the carpet, into the pulpit, into the chairs, into the atmosphere. That when people walk in here, the depression is leaving. Their hearts are healed. Are you in this place here? Can you pull on this? Can you contend for this? Where strife have no choice but to leave. Where gossip have no choice but to leave. Are you in this place here? That's the church heaven is building. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church that heaven is building is a glorified church. The church that heaven is building is an attractive church. Is a church the community want to go to. Is a church the community saying, I can't wait for Sunday morning to come to go to that house. That's what God wants for this church. Do you want that for your church? Where heaven smiled at you. Where heaven said, oh my, heaven said, I'm finally have a church where my son can visit. A church where Jesus cannot tell the difference between heaven and this place. Because the glory is there.
Thank you, Lord.
There are some church God doesn't even want to attend. Full of gossip. Full of back talking. Full of fear. But in the holy church, there was a glory there.
Amen.
And God is building a church. We are the church. The church is not a building. The church is the people that has the touch of heaven upon their life. The glory of God upon their life. That when unbelievers come in contact with them, they're thirsty for righteousness. They're thirsty for purity. They're thirsty for living right. But if we act like the world, we have the same problems like the world, there's no difference. Can you smile on me this morning?
Yes, amen.
Promise me you're going to smile, all right? Hallelujah. Lift your hands up to heaven right now. Say, Jesus, build this church. Jesus, I'm hungry for the glory that you have for this church and for this region.
Thank you, Lord.
So Jude is making a statement. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that to earnestly, say earnestly, come on, say earnestly, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said there is a legacy of faith that was once delivered to the saints. It was the same faith that was working in Moses. The same faith that was working in Daniel. The same faith that was working in Jesus. The same faith that's working in the apostles. He said, I'm about to die now, but I'm sending you a letter that don't quit, that don't give up, but to earnestly contend for the faith that was once was working in the life of people.
earnestly contend, which means there's a pressing in. There's a contending. We live in a society today where everything's about grace now. Grace, just grace. Mother, just grace. Just grace. Just grace. The rest of the world puke at that stuff. No one wants to contend any longer. No one wants to. What happens to the all-night prayers?
Yeah, right. Amen.
I was raised in Glad Tidings Church where we pray all night. Pray all night. Pray at the altar. What happened to those moments? We have received a message. This soft grace. Well, it's okay now. Let's just sit down. Jesus paid for it all. And he did. Let's just relax. Have some coffee. Yeah, that would take you to hell. I just came from Brazil. I'm taking my youth day in my church next year. Children crying out for God. Children, 10 years old, crying out for God. Tears, they run to the altar. Children crying out to God. In Zimbabwe, children are putting their fists to heaven and say, you will touch our country. You will heal our land. And North America, grace. Just grace. And we have our favorite preachers. And we cleave to teachers that will puff our flesh up. Am I talking to anybody here?
Yeah.
We cleave to teachers who tell you that certain sin is okay. Because grace covers. Listen to me. Grace covers sin, yes. But if you let the devil in your life, he will eat you for lunch.
Come on now.
Can you smile? I said grace did cover sin. Cover your past sin, cover your present sin, and your future sin. Yes. But if you decide to step out from the umbrella of God's protection, and believe in those dumb sermons. Weak sermons. You open the door for the enemy to come in. And develop a demonic stronghold in your mind. And then while the worshiper is singing, you are good, you can't even enter. Because Satan has an aspect of your soul. And you can't even worship God. Because you're full of guilt. Because you swallow that doctrine. But there's a freedom for the people of God. There's a rest for the children of God. And they will contend. And they will say, we will not rest until we see our city touched for God. We will not rest until we see souls saved. Listen to me. I told the church in Europe, I have an issue with empty chairs. Empty chairs is illegal in the house of God. Jesus said, go to the highways and the byways that my house shall be filled.
Amen. Jesus.
Have an issue with empty chairs.
Amen.
I curse empty chairs. Amen. You'll be filled next week in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But the believers must rise up on the inside and say, I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I'm going to be all that God called me to be. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to get behind my pastor. We're going to do everything to touch our community. One church in Brazil, man of God, the first I came, it was half of the church was full of young kids. Isn't that true? Young kids. These are kids who was on the drugs. The church reached out and delivered them. Some of those kids now have grown up, when I was there the first time, has grown up, has not become church planters.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Leaders. Even the older folks. Sometimes the older folks say, you know, I'm too old. It's for the young folks. No, 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 no. The glory coming to you also.
women who are 65 years old having home groups with kids. Women who are totally paralyzed like this have home groups with kids. But things are changing in North America.
Praise God, yes.
That's why God is raising a church like this. A church like this. And by the way, there is no church that is perfect. And if you find one, please don't go there. You know, my church. Relax. We all have issues, including you.
Amen. Very good.
You know, stop comparing your church with other churches. There's a DNA in your church. There's a beauty in your church. Celebrate what God's doing in your church. Are you following me here? Celebrate what God is doing in your church. And the whole idea that I think, you know, is brighter somewhere else until you go there. To recognize they all have problems. The church is being perfected. As the church has been perfected, we're getting there. There's no perfect church. And if you find one, don't tell no one about it. And you don't even go there. Stay away from that place. I said, my church, Living Faith, is a perfect church for imperfect people.
Thank you, Lord.
Three things I want to share with you that God, I believe God, wants you to have faith in. Number one, have faith in your local church. Number two, have faith for increase. I said, have faith for increase.
Amen.
And have faith for your future.
Yes.
Have faith. Jude said, contend for this faith. Have faith for your church. Have faith for the local church.
Thank you, Lord.
I realized something. And man of God, you agree with this. Most, whenever you hear an evangelist, I've studied this. Some man of God who messed up and fall from grace. If you dig very closely, you recognize this man never once submit to a local church. Didn't submit to a local church. He didn't really have a man of God in his life to help him. You see, when you have, say, I'm listening. See, my people are saying this. I want you to say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
You see, when you have a pastor, you see, you are not anointed to pastor yourself. You may go to heaven. You may even see Jesus 1,000 times. But you're not anointed. Yes, you're anointed, but not anointed to pastor your own self. When you have a pastor and you give your man and woman of God the authority to watch over your soul, when he starts to pray for you, even if he's not even aware of your name, come here, Danielle, come here. Stand before me here. Even if he's not aware of your name, because you come to the church and you say that I want this church to be my church, my family. Can I talk to you? And you say, I want this church to be my family. I want to grow together with them. When your pastor started to pray for you, let's assume that you're about to make the wrong mistake and you're going the wrong direction. As he prays for you, the Holy Ghost step in, come on, and start to fine-tune your steps. Because the Bible says he watched over your soul. Your soul is your mind. That's the decision capacity. Your soul is your will. Your soul is your emotions. When your pastor pray for you, when your pastor watch over your soul, there's something happen in the realm of the spirit where all of a sudden your steps are being fine-tuned. Maybe you're about to make a decision that will cost you mistake, not right now, but 5 years from now. Everything might look good now, but in 5 years, how things will look like.
Yes, I know right now he's handsome. I know right now she's beautiful. I know right now you are compatible. Would you be in 5 years from now? Your man of God has the ability. Your woman of God has the ability. As they are praying, as they're worshiping, they can fine-tune things in the spirit for you to help you so you can be strong. When you decide not to connect to a local church, you miss that ministry. You cut yourself off from that ministry. I didn't talk to him what I was sharing. This month, God spoke to me to share this with you. Because God has awesome things for this church. God has awesome things for this church. God has a future for you. God has great things for you. The question, do you want it? The question, do you want it? And secondly, are you willing to pay the price to get it? Are you willing to pay the price to press in to get it? Because one thing to say, I want it. Are you willing to pay the price to get it? Remember years ago, man of God, God spoke to me. He said there are some miracles that you haven't seen, especially miracles with mental handicapped people. He said there are miracles that I have for you that you have to pay a price to walk in it. He said Jesus paid a price for you to have it. But you must pay a price to walk in it. That's why I have an issue with the grace teaching. He pay a price for you to have it. But you have to pay a price to sustain it. To walk in it. He told me, the reason why you haven't seen a lot of mental handicapped people get healed in your meeting, because you haven't paid the price for them as yet. He said, the first thing you do, you must develop a love for these people. When you see them, don't cross your eye. You know, interesting enough, there are some people, church people, when they see some people with maybe a handicap or an ailment, there's a way of try to turn their face or turn their heart in a different direction. Or someone that is different. I'm getting close to a cookie. Yeah. It's one thing to celebrate people who look like you. It's one thing to celebrate people who work at your status. Who sing the same song like you. I'm coming close to the cookie now. Who look like you, smell like you, talk like you, worship like you. What if someone who love Jesus but don't look like you, don't talk like you. If you, this is the trust God is building. If you willing to let go of the biasness. If you willing to let go and say, Jesus, bring in those who look different from me. Those who smell different from me. Those who function at a different financial status from me. God will give you this region. Hallelujah. He will give you the region. He will give you this region.
Thank you, Lord.
What do? You start in the house. You start in the house. You start in the house. Become friend with people that you haven't talked to in months. It's easy to click with someone who looks like you. I'm coming close to the cookie. It's easy. You know, God has given me a grace. I minister to all type of people. I minister to Chinese people, to black people, to white people, because people are people, but there's some people have issues. And God, there's certain people God cannot deliver to you. Yeah. Your heart is closed. Okay, you want God to give people who look just like you, talk just like you, who make the same amount of money like you. And I'm sorry, when I look around this city here, it's a melting pot.
Right.
Can I talk to you?
Yes, yes, please.
God has want to give you this city.
Hallelujah, yes, he
I said, God want to give you this city. And the strategy is simple. Start to love the people among you right now. Start to seek out those who are different from you. Start to develop a culture of love among yourself. Because if you can do it in the house, you will do it on the street.
Hallelujah.
My God, my God.
Hallelujah.
It's amazing sometimes. I go to the mall and I see kids who are acting very disrespectful in the mall. And the parents is thinking like, he doesn't act this way at home. I'm like, yeah, right. The same with the kid out on the street is the way he acts at home. Start, have a love revolution.
Hallelujah.
Among you people. A love revolution among you people. Even with those start to evangelize. No, not evangelize yet, but start a love revolution. A love revolution among your people. Start to love each other. Care for each other. Look out for each other. And don't wait for your pastors. You lead the way. You lead the way. Am I boring you?
No.
I'm coming close to your cookie. Take it away from you. Amen. So faith in the church. Look at Matthew. Pastor, how much time I have, man of God? How much time do I have?
Oh, you got what you need.
Oh, I like this man of God already. I like this man of God. Matthew chapter 16. Woo!
Hallelujah, yes. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Matthew 16. And we're going to read from verse 1, Matthew 16, verse 1. Faith in the local church, faith in the church, faith in the church family. Develop a culture of loving your family, a culture of supporting your family.
Yeah.
And we're going to read Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And when Jesus came into the course of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, saying, are you there? Whom do men say that I am? And they said, some said, thou art John the Baptist. Others, Elias. Others, Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye? I love the statement, that I am. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art what? The Christ. Thou art the Christ. The Son, come on, of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now read verse 18 for me. 1, 2, 3, go. Yeah.
Peter, upon this rock,
yeah,
I will build my church.
Yeah.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Thou art Peter. The words you're declaring, I will build my church. I said before the church, they mean ecclesia, a called out one, a group of people God called to a region, a group of people that God called to a place. So in this room here, this is the ecclesia of God. And it said here, I will build my church. The instruction there, Jesus said, I will build my church.
Thank you, Lord.
Now the question, who is building your life? Is it you or Jesus?
Jesus.
Because see, the one that is building the life is also responsible for the materials.
Amen.
If I'm building the house, I'm buying the material. He said, this is so liberating for me as a pastor. Jesus said, I will build my church. Come on. Which means he is responsible to getting the materials for the building project.
That's it.
And all I have to do is allow him to build me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And when he finished building you, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. He said the strategies of hell. But if you and I are building our lives, then hell will prevail against us. But if we allow Jesus to gather the right material, the material of joy, the material of forgiveness. My God, I'm preaching to myself, all right. The material of peace. The material of honor. What is your honor gauge? What is your peace gauge? What is your giving gauge? These are the material that he's using. And he said, because I am building you, Satan, the gates, come on, of hell shall not prevail against this church. So Satan's strategy is this, man of God. He said, how can I destroy this church? It's the same spirit of Balaam. Balaam knew that God's people was blessed already. He told the guy, he said, I'm going to hire you, Balaam, to prophesy and curse the people of God. Balaam said, there's a problem. He said, what's the problem? He said, God already blessed them already. And those who God bless, it cannot be reversed. But I could give you a strategy so they can walk away from the blessing. They can walk away from the umbrella of protection. It's a strategy of Satan. So Satan does, he brings strife in the church. Bring strife in the church. And you come to church, all of a sudden, you hate the worship songs. Ah, we heard the song 2 weeks ago. Why she keeps singing that song? Shut up. Strife, strife, strife. Watch the strife. Watch the strife. Strife contaminate faith. Strife kill the blessing. Strife eat away the breakthrough. Jesus. It's the spirit of Balaam. Lest I know we cannot stop them from progress, but we're going to have them destroy themselves from the inside. That's happening in America today. Especially the black people in America. African American. Satan have a strategy, especially in Chicago. We're going to destroy them from the inside. We're going to cause them to hate themselves. So they will kill themselves. That's the same strategy of Satan. The church is blessed.
Yes.
What we're going to do, we're going to cause strife to happen amongst them, to tear them down, to weaken the prophetic voice. But I come to prophesy in the name of Jesus. That spirit will not prevail. You will not prevail. Because there's a love revolution that is coming to this church. There's a love revolution that is coming to this place. There's a love revolution that is coming to this community. In the name of Jesus. You spirit of strife, I challenge you. You spirit of bigotry, I curse you. You spirit of division, I strike you down. I declare a love revolution. I declare peace. I declare righteousness. I declare goodness. You love each other. You intentionally go out of your way to find someone who look different from you, talk different from you, who make less money than you, and connect with them. You do that. When you go out there, you do the same thing. Isn't this amazing? You see me here in this suit here, and you say, oh my God, this man of God, listen to me. When I came to Canada, I had all type of issues. I couldn't even speak.
every time I speak, I was stuttered. I had so many shame, so many insecurity. But as a man of God named Pastor Ernie Cully, you know him, man of God? He saw me. I was the raisin in the whole loaf in that church. You know what I'm saying here? And this man of God saw this black kid, this 19-year-old black kid, and he reached out to me. He started to prophesy. Is it the spirit of Benson Adehosa is on this young man? We're going to put him to Bible school. He didn't even know who I am. And that church spent 4 years at my Bible college. Not even know who I am. Because there's a prophet who see beyond my pain. Who see beyond my shame. Who see beyond my insecurity. And today I've been to 18 nations. That man went to the board meeting and he fought with them for 4 hours and said, I don't know, but there's something special about this young man. Man, for the first time, but he had prophetic eyes to see beyond the pain, to see beyond the shame, to see beyond the stammering tongue. Ask God to give you that type of eyes. Anybody can prophesy when someone have a suit on. Can you prophesy when someone is down? Can you prophesy when someone is weak? Can you prophesy when there's fear and shame? Convince the entire board. Let's put this man to college. And even with my immigration issue, he jumped into the vehicle. This church was a big church. He didn't assign a deacon. He took it on himself. He drove me across the border. Work out my immigration. Call Christ for the nation. He said, God tells me. There's something about this young man. Thank God he did.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You never know who is sitting beside you.
Amen. Yes.
You never know. You never know. You know, for example, the young man was saying, you have a first service, and there are people that come here who look different, who may even smell different. You never know. Who are those people who can be the next mayor?
Hallelujah.
He said, come on, pastor. Oh, no. You never know what God can do. Joseph came as a slave in Egypt, and God raised him up to be the second in command.
Hallelujah.
Never know. Never know. Have eyes to see potential. Have eyes to see beyond the storm. Have eyes to see beyond the shame and insecurity and see a soul that needs someone who can believe in them.
Praise God.
Ask God to give you faith to believe in people.
Hallelujah.
Ask God to give you faith to believe in people. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But he is the one that is gathering the materials. That's why he brought you here today. To allow you to hear words of faith. So you can make the adjustment. Listen to me something. Every plane that left an airport, for example, the plane that left Vancouver to Texas, when the plane left the airport, the pilot made the adjustment on that plane every 5 minutes. Because the plane is off course all the time. But the pilot made the adjustment, make the correction, and the plane would land in Texas right on time. If your man of God cannot correct you from the pulpit, you are off course. If the Holy Ghost cannot correct you and you receive it, you are off course. Are you following me here? It's a strategy of God for the Word of God to correct us because we are off course 90% of the time. But when the Word comes and it challenges us. And we say, Lord, Lord, let your will be done, not my will. He corrects you. And you land at the place of your destiny right in time. You don't want to be 5 years behind. There's so many people that are 5 years behind. 5 years behind. Because they refuse to yield to the fine-tuning of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, messages like this is how you grow.
That's it.
You can smile this morning.
He said, I thought you were coming and just wave your hand and heal the sick. No, 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 no. You need healing on the inside.
Good.
You don't grow in comfort.
Good. Amen. Good.
You don't grow in comfort. You grow in challenging moment. And you yield to the Holy Ghost. And you say, Holy Spirit, my will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you still love me, right? Secondly, God want to bring increase. Increase, say increase. Say increase. Yes, increase is from the Lord. I say increase is from the Lord. I say increase is from heaven. Increase in church growth. Come on. Increase in finances. Increase in knowledge.
Hallelujah.
As an increase in knowledge.
Amen.
Increase in church growth.
Yes.
Increase in health.
Amen. Yes.
God has increased for you.
Yes.
Close your eyes and say, God has increased for me. Come on.
God has increased.
He has increased. He has increased. I say he has increased.
Yes.
Psalms 115. We have two more points. I'm going to close. I'm going to pray for the sick and bless you. Psalms 115, verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Are you there?
Yes.
He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and what? Great. The reason why both small and great, because the small one is a setup for the big one. I said the small one, come on, is a setup for the big one.
That's a good one. Yep.
You have to be faithful in the small one.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Pastor, I start teaching. Pastor Cully told me, he said, young man, you know you finished Bible school. I want for you to teach Alpha. I said, Alpha? Yeah, Alpha. I had two people in Alpha for 2 years. One was drunk and one was crazy.
Which one were you?
And I teach these people. I will fast and I will pray for these people. Praise God. That's when I started to hear the voice of God. The word of knowledge started to come. Teaching those people. And I taught them faithfully. My wife and I taught the class faithfully. And folks would tell me, what are you doing on Tuesday? I'm teaching Alpha. How much folks coming out? Two. But today now. Start small.
Amen.
Remain faithful in the small things. In the small things is a setup for the big things.
Hallelujah.
I'm preaching to myself. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Amen. It's a good sermon. I'm about to take it for myself. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall what? Increase you more and more. Church, the Lord shall increase you more and more.
Yes.
Do you believe this?
Yes.
Yes.
So God has increased on his mind. The question, do you have increase on your mind? You see, if God has increase on your and his mind and you have shortage on your mind, there's a problem. But when you have increase on your mind and God has increase on his mind, oh, hallelujah. Something awesome will happen in the earth. Something awesome will happen. So God has increased for this church. God has great things for this church. And you need to prophesy that. Start to prophesy that. God has increased for this church. God has great things for my church. Say this with me. Say, I love my church. Say, I love my church. Come on, it's too quiet. Say, I love my church.
I love my church.
So you have to say that and don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed, thank you. Don't be ashamed to celebrate your church. Don't be ashamed to say, I love this church because this is your family.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Celebrate this church. Talk good things about your church. It is so easy sometimes to speak negativity about the church, but develop a culture of speaking good things about your church.
Amen.
Your words are seeds for your future. Your words are your future seed. Speak good things about your church. Speak good things about your children. Speak good things about your wife. Speak good things about your husband. He said, oh, pastor, if you know who I'm married to, if you know that woman I'm married to, well, speak good things about her. I learned something. Whatever I want from my wife, I sow that seed. I'm a farmer. I sow things I want. Good seed. Good seed. At first she said, honey, don't say that. Good more seed. Good seed. Good seed. And then later on, I'm the king of the house. Oh, I gotta keep negative. What happened to the house? Where's my dinner? Oh, that's problems. Or I could speak words of life. Speak to her nobility.
That's it.
Make her feel like she's the best woman on the planet.
That's it.
And your wife do the same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of men are lonely. A lot of men are lonely in their own home. A lot of men doesn't even want to go home at nighttime. Because they have a hard time at work. And they come home for hard time, for the criticism, for the silent treatment. Ladies, treat that man. The statement, you know, we always talk about Samson and what's his name again? Delilah. There's something about that story that blesses me. The Bible never once described how beautiful Delilah was. Never want to describe her face, her lips, her breasts, her butt, nothing like that. All the Bible described about Delilah, she created a place for Samson to lay his head. Woman, create a place in your home for your husband cannot help but to come home.
Good word.
Yes. You create a place at home that man cannot help but to come home. A place of peace. Come on, talk to me now. I'm coming close to your cookie, I told you. A place where he feels like, my wife believes in me. My wife doesn't cut me down. Come on, talk to me. Say increase.
Increase.
Say increase.
Increase.
So God has increase on his mind. He shall bless the house. Verse 15. You shall be blessed of the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. The heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, and he keep talking about all those beautiful things. But the point here, God has made a covenant of increase with you. God has made a covenant of increase. And I want to see the promises are there, but they are voice activated. They are what? Voice activated. You have to activate them with your tongue. You have to declare all the good things about the house of God. You keep saying, this house is a flourishing house. This house is a great house. Yes. And your words will go into the community and land on those people who are hungry. Oh my God. It will go into the community and find those that are hungry. Those who are looking for purpose. Families that are broken. Families who need a father. Families who need a mentor. And the world will find these people. And lastly, your future. Your future. Church, God has a future for you. God has a future. This is not the future. This is the beginning. This is just the beginning. What you have done so far is still the beginning. God has a future for you. He said, I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think, according to the power that is working within you. Your future is bright with Jesus. And I learned something about the things of the Spirit. When you collaborate your effort with other believers, your progress would accelerate. If you try to achieve your goals by yourself, you might achieve it, it will take longer. If you collaborate with your family members, there'll be an acceleration comes. Connect more with your church family. Share, you know, my dear sister here, you know, a couple of months ago, the doctor diagnosed her with cancer. Had a brain tumor in her head. And the doctor gave all kind of negative news. And I called my church together, my leaders together, and I said, we have to beat this thing in the spirit. Mm-hmm. I called Pastor Ron. I said, Pastor Ron, you cover for five minutes every day in prayer. And I called all 20 of my leaders, and I say, we're going to cover this in the spirit, because one can still trace 1,000, two can trace, with my church, two can trace 10,000. And we combine our effort, because we are the church. And when the church pray, heaven moves. When the church pray, heavens move. Can you imagine the force, the power that will come to this church when you let go of your issues and said, we're going to be one voice in heaven, one voice in the land, one voice in the kingdom of darkness. And when we pray, heaven will move. And we as a church, we pray, and today she's healed, completely free. My wife has stage 4 cancer. Doctor told us that, and she was 6 months pregnant with my baby boy. This is 16 years ago. I'm saying there is power when we combine our faith. There is power when we join our hope together. When we join our grace together. And Satan knows the only weapon to defeat this church is to keep, have them defeat and divide amongst themselves. But I prophesy the unity. I prophesy strength. I prophesy courage. In every joint, receive strength. In every ligament, receive strength. In every bones, receive strength. The doctor said, Mr. Weeks, the cancer is so aggressive, and we have a few options. She's pregnant. will allow her to go to the full period of pregnancy, but she will die, but the baby will live. Or we can take the baby early, but his lungs wouldn't develop. He might have mental situation, condition, all kind of problems. You make the choice and tell us what to do. I said, I don't like this choice. I went home and God spoke to me. He said, son, whose report will you believe? Amen. I called my pastor. I called some friends of mine. And we get together and we pray the prayer of faith. We pray together. The church that pray together, live together, stay together. And we pray, and we God intervene and remove that cancer. Supernaturally. I believe in doctors. God can use doctors. But the bottom line is that when we come together, there's so much we can do. Amen. Don't fight by yourself. Don't deal with issues by yourself. Do you hear me? I'm speaking as your brother. Don't go through pain by yourself. Call your pastor. Call a home group leader. Connect to a home group. Connect to the fellowship. Because your life will be stronger in unity when you're together, when you're by yourself. Because Satan's strategy is to isolate you so he can assassinate you. But when you come together, you're stronger. Look at this illustration here. I'm closing. Look at me. I'm closing. Look at this. Isolated. Can blow you down. Look at this one here now. This is the combined force. Me and my pastor. Home group leaders, choir director, me and my church together. I have an issue, but I join forces. Help me preach this message, please. I join forces. It's impossible to push it down. I'm trying my best, and Satan gives his best attack. But when there's a combined force together, he cannot prevail. That's right. And that's what God has sent me to tell you. He said, I'm building this church. I have a future for you. It's a bright future. But don't live by yourself. Combine your strength. Combine your intelligence. Combine your insight. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, leboko sarabaso te shilaba. Yanda labo ribababa so ribose kekada. Sarabaro ribose kalabaso. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we love you. We love you so much. We love you so much. Thank you for this church. Thank you, God, that you continue to be a beacon of hope in this community. You will be a light that shine, 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 a light that shine. Lebroko seka sha tavroko seka. Come on, start praying the Holy Ghost. Laraba broko siba brakande labando rubekeka banda leboko siba shibande yalabando rudebo yelebo sedabada saraba sekekeda yende lalababa roeshi mendele debosa mendele debosa mandala babaso sekelebose mendele debora babaso. Oh Jesus, Jesus. With every head bowed, every eyes closed. Maybe here in this service and you don't know God. You don't know Jesus. And maybe you once know him, but you backslide. The things of the world has got a hold of you. Fear has got a hold of you. And you're more aware of the things of natural than the things of the spirit. And today you want to make your heart right with God. You want to come back to God. You want to come back to Jesus. I want to give an opportunity right now with every head bowed, every eyes closed. If you're here
in this place and you don't know Jesus, you don't know Jesus, I want to pray for you. You don't know Jesus, I want to pray for you. You don't know the Lord, I want to pray for you. You want to make things right with God, right with heaven. Right with God, right with heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him, don't leave this place without Jesus. Don't leave this place without the author and the finish of your faith. You want to find Jesus. You backslide, you walk away from him. The fire that was there has gone. You want to find him. If you don't know him, put your hand up. I want to pray for you. 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 Also, so if you're here and remember you need prayer for Pastor, do I have time for this? Yes. If you had prayer, you need prayer for anything. You have ailment in your body. You want to pray for it. Just come quickly. Just come quickly. You need a touch in your body. We'll be here tonight again for another service. But if we're here and you need healing in your body, just come quickly. We're going to pray for you.